The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad, boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad, noodle salad. That's their story. Noodle salad, noodle salad, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad, good. Good, good. That's their story. Noodle salad.
Everybody's favorite game show, Mystery Guest. And here is everybody's favorite game show host, Guy Smiley.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is everybody's favorite game show host, Guy Smiley, with everybody's favorite game show, Mystery Guest. And now, panel, are you in place? And are your blindfolds also in place?
I can't see a thing, Guy.
Yes, you turned off the lights.
Hi, Guy.
Okay, our panel is already blindfolded, so they cannot see who our mystery guest is. All right, mystery guest, we're ready. Will you enter inside, and please?
Our mystery guest today is the letter X.
Okay, welcome to our show, mystery guest. All right, panel, I'm going to give you a clue. Our guest is a letter of the alphabet.
That's right. A letter of the alphabet. Now, we'll begin our questioning with our own Cookie Monster.
Oh, me think me know. Mystery guest, you round and roly-poly and look like big, tasty, delicious cookie like this.
No, I am not like a big, tasty cookie. I am not the letter O.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, Cookie Monster.
No.
But let's continue the questioning with the ever-smiling Don Music.
Thank you, guys.
It's not an O.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Mystery guest, do you sound like and do you look like this?
No, Mr. Music, I am not the letter M.
Oh, I'll never get it. Never.
I'm sorry, Don. Our mystery guest is not the letter M. Let's continue with our favorite detective, Mr. Sherlock Hemlock.
Egad, thank you so much. There's got to be another clue, and I, Sherlock Hemlock, the world's greatest private. I wait. A moment. That could be the clue. Yes. I have reason to believe that you are very tall, straight, and skinny.
No, sorry, Sherlock. I am not the letter I.
Well, I do.
Okay, I'm sorry, panel, but our mystery letter is not the letter I, and we have now run out of time.
Mr. Smiley, I have to go now.
What? What do you mean?
I have some friends waiting at the door.
What? But mystery letter, you can't go out now. How did he do that? Well, thank you very much, panel. That concludes this week's program.
But who was your mystery guest?
Yes.
How do we get out?
Yes. Go out through the exit. Right.
Wake up. It's night, and it's time to be. Oh, they're loud tonight, huh? Okay, let's get this straight. No gambling. Enjoy this show. It's a special one. It's me, the third man, the godfather of the internet. I am the internet godfather of internet radio. Well, I just took over the entire place. Well, thank goodness Ralph did not break the internet. And we are here with me, the bard of broadcasting. Oh, this is a special one. The mystery guest I have been touting for a year. It's been a year because I think it started last year, is here. And we're going to introduce this person, and we're going to talk to this person, and everything I told you is going to happen and more. So stay around. We got as long as we want to do this. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. Tis I. I'm back. I don't even remember if I was on last week. I don't remember one week to the next. But this week, no, I think that, you know, it's been a terrible winter. Terrible. It's been a good winter would have lots of snow, lots of cold, lots of all that stuff. That'd be a good winter. Otherwise it wouldn't be winter. It would be a poor winter. It would be another season, in which case it would be one of the other seasons. It's me. I'm here. And it's odd because, here's what's odd, and you don't know this because you can't see it. This isn't television. I don't remember the last time someone was physically here next to me live in the studio, because when I do have guests, we use that fabulous Skype thing, you know, that Skype thing. And, oh, did you hear a little, oh, there's a laugh. And so let me catch you up to what's going on. If you haven't seen the blog, we have a blog. I might be repeating certain things for our mystery guest, but a while ago, and it was last year, it was 2018 when we tried to do this, and, we monitored, by the way, what was going on with you and everyone. I didn't get to you, but everyone was concerned when I told them. In fact, they were either concerned or they did not believe that you existed. They thought I was playing a joke or doing some kind of a, you know, Andy Kaufman thing, because when I said, you know, touted up this mystery guest coming here, and then you had that accident. There was an accident, and this is true, and this is going to be told to you that it's true. And finally, after a number of things happened, which was just time passing, we were able to do this. And here, and the guest I'm going to introduce to you. But before I do that, I want to let you know a few things. I'll do a little business here, and then we'll start to talk. But this person, and I'm not revealing anything about the mystery guest. So don't think if you sit around for like an hour and a half or so, you're going to go, oh, and then we found out that person's name was Betty, or that person's name was Vito, because it's not going to happen. Okay. You're never, ever going to know this person. When I say mystery, and the capital M, capital Y, and spell the rest out. Okay. So, and this is going to be good for any number of reasons. So we're going to be doing that. The first thing I'm going to do, for those of you who are going, yeah, right, like you have somebody there or do you have a tape, I'm going to let this person say hello and tell you some things. So we're going to set up this thing. You can move in a little bit more. I love those shoes.
Thank you.
They're slippers.
They're slides.
They're Adidas, slides. In fact. They're called what?
Adidas.
They're Adidas slides.
Yes.
Adidas slides. Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Adidas slides. Well, why not? They don't call them slippers anymore?
No, not anymore. I believe the difference, you're wearing slippers.
No, I'm wearing moccasins.
Oh.
See? And, you know, Indians, or now we can't say Indians, Native Americans used to like, you know, live, in these things. And they didn't have boots, so they put the skin of animals on top of them or something like that?
This has no animal skin on it. This is, well, I don't know. It could be leather. I'm not sure.
And for those of you who are living in a climate that may be warm, do you know where the morning zoo in Australia? In Australia, they get up because of the time zone, right? In Australia, they get up and listen to us while they're having breakfast. So this is going to be fascinating for them too. Very late at night in England. Our English people stay up. Okay, look. You need to know.
Anyways.
You don't need to know that. Anyway, so it's true. Someone is here. This is the mystery guest. We're going to have to address the mystery guest, not with, not as a specific sex or a specific name. So we're going to say, we're going to have to find a letter, just like they did with, there in, X. I'm going to let mystery guest pick the letter. That's the letter. The mystery guest will be called. So we're going to watch these pronouns throughout.
You're going to slip up
the show. maybe not. What letter does mystery guest wish to be referred to, spoken to, addressed as? It's a bad sentence. As what letter do you wish to be addressed?
I've always been more of a continent person. Go with
continent. Oh, that's good.
No, let's do one that's a vowel and a consonant. Let's go with Y. Is it also?
Wow. Wait. A before. Wait. I before E, except after. Wait.
C.
I gotta try. Wait. A E I O U
and
sometimes Y. That's great. Yes. Sometimes Y is here with us. Y. And that's perfect. You see already this is working out. Y. So let's get a few things straight here. There is a mystery guest. Mystery guest will be here. There'll be no 1 hour break unless somebody's got to go. You'll just go to the bathroom. Yeah, there's one of them. You'll be fine. You'll be able to make. You'll be able to make. Just a few things that we'll do first. So I'm going to bypass all the regular stuff. You know where to get the books. You know where to get the, you know what goes on here. You know where to get the archives. You know everything it's all about. So we're not going to waste any time. We've wasted, well, I won't say wasted. You've been busy. Why has been busy? And, let's just confirm the fact that your delay, originally had to do with
a terrible accident.
A terrible accident. Yeah. And we didn't get to talk about that. You went into a ditch or something? I think I saw you.
I went into a ditch.
How do you, did you not see a ditch? Or?
No, it was, the roads were wet. It was very, it was raining outside. Uh-huh. There was a deer.
Oh, not the deer thing.
The deer got out of it alive. Well, so did I, but.
Yeah.
But not on
You didn't hit the deer.
I didn't hit the deer, no.
But you swerved for the deer?
I did. I swerved. I chose my life instead of the deer.
So it was a real last minute. You saw him, her. I don't know. How'd you know? That's funny. People don't say, I hit a doe or I hit a deer. People don't specify sex when they hit.
Deer is just all encompassing.
Yeah. Okay. Was it? So you didn't hit it.
I did not.
And, while swerving, you went into a ditch.
I went into a ditch and the trees stopped me from going into.
So you went into
a
tree. Ooh.
Yes.
You went into a tree by in a ditch so
a
that
ditch.
You didn't go into the water?
Yes, there was a creek beyond. This sounds very made up, I'm sure.
No, I believe it now. No, we didn't make this up either. And were you conscious?
No, I was fine.
You were fine.
Yeah, I was great.
Okay.
Well,
did the thing blow
mentally.
Up?
The airbags didn't they didn't deploy. No.
Wow.
The frame of the car was messed. It was a mess.
Wow.
Tried backing out of the ditch. It didn't work, so.
And the steam was coming out and everything? And
it's right?
It's totaled. It was totaled.
It was totaled, but it didn't, I didn't think it was totaled when it happened, but.
Are you going too fast at the time?
I wasn't.
No.
It was just there was a curve in the road and the roads were wet and right on the other side, a deer jumped off the embankment and I put on the brakes, but
were there deer crossing signs?
You know what? I don't really look at those, so maybe it is my fault.
Doesn't matter. There, a friend of mine was here one night, or for like a week or something, and working nights because he was here. And what he did was he left for work one night, and this road he didn't get past this road. There's mm-hmm. there's no deer. I mean, they come by herds in this area, and he clipped one, and you know, wound up in the hospital.
Oh, jeez.
But I mean, he's cut up, but he didn't, but I mean, you don't need deer signs in this area because they come, they just fly across. They come.
They do.
Well, that's, we were all, sorry to hear that. Everyone was sorry to hear that.
A horrible accident.
But the funny thing is, you know, because of me, like I said, there was, we're going like, oh, right. Okay. That's a good excuse. There's no mystery guest. There's no nobody. No anybody. And you're just, no, but it is, but why is here? And, of course, how long did it take you to just, were you rattled up? How rattled were you? You said you weren't hurt physically, but
physically,
was you emotionally?
No.
Well, freaked?
I was just, I didn't know what to do. I mean, the first instinct is always pull out the phone and call mom.
That's what happened? I mean, that's the first time that happened. You'd never been in an accident?
No.
When you were driving.
Never been in an accident where I wasn't driving.
Ooh, okay, all right.
But none of them have been my fault.
All right.
Of course, no one's believing me.
I didn't even go for fault there. I mean, I didn't even make that part of the conversation.
I figured I would cover my bases before I.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. And then, you had nothing? No scratch? No, nothing? Nothing.
No,
two. But you were rattled when you got out. You got right out, called your mom.
I didn't even get out of the car.
You didn't?
Whipped out the phone and dialed my mom's number immediately because I knew she would.
How far away from you were you from your mom or whoever would come and get you?
Oh, probably 5 minutes. No, less than 5 minutes. It was just a few minutes away.
It's statistically, I always heard statistically that that car accidents happen within a certain radius of your home. That most of them happen.
Yeah. You know? I think within 5 miles or so.
Yeah, something like that. Well, okay, well, we're all happy you're here, and we're happy that you're okay. And your new car? What did you get a new car? You got, how long did it take you to get a car then? Because that was another thing that stopped Y from being here. Transportation.
Probably a month.
A month?
A month.
A month, that's it?
I work quickly.
Wow. That is exemplary, I'd say. That's fine. What do you, I didn't see the car because it's so dark in this world I live in. What did you get? You got another used car or did you just pull
it
out?
It's used. It had.
All right, whatever.
Yeah,
you
anyways,
had a car, right?
Don't identify
you're
why.
Fine, you're okay. This car works well and you're here and you're safe. Okay. So we know that much. That's been now, we'd like to put that as exhibit one. That it worked.
Terrible accident.
Okay. Here's some other things that you should know so that when you're listening to what we, to our discussion and when you're hearing what Y has to say, you know that this has not been rehearsed or anything. Number one, Y is not, and you're going to confirm whatever I say. Okay.
Okay.
Y is not related to me in any way, shape, or form. Is that correct?
I'm not.
Okay.
Not related.
So we have that. You're going to have to, live with that. Okay. Y is not being paid to say anything or do anything, right?
I'm not getting paid at all.
At all. That's why we don't have a lot of live people here. That's why they go on Skype. But anyway, okay. We have talked before, of course, but we have not talked about what we're going to talk. This is all fresh and unrehearsed, right?
It is.
Okay, that takes. And okay, so, and there's a good reason, for why to be anonymous, as I mentioned, and in case you didn't listen to that show, which was God knows when, but I've said it a number of times. And that's because some of the things we're going to talk about, we will reveal a certain aspect of why, but what we're going to talk, things we're going to talk about, I want why to be completely, entirely, and absolutely free, to say anything why wants to, without having the horrible cloud that hangs over people who do things on the internet because things that go on the internet stay on the internet. And these days, I think it's part of, like if you go to get a job, don't
yes.
people look at
your digital footprint.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Your digital footprint. Which is also something I guess we'll talk about because it's fascinating how many people don't respect that in so many ways. Okay. So here's the deal. As I'd said in the past, I've had some younger people on either by Skype or when they were live here. Of course, they were my children, who were either children or having grown up. But Y is a member of, you don't have to give your birth date because I don't want you to be swarmed with, I don't want to get swarmed with birthday wishes and all sorts of stuff that mm-hmm. I have to then email to you or something. So, you don't have to tell me the date, but tell us the year of your birth.
I was born in
1999. 1999. So you are actually, there's a real millennial word. Actually.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big one. So you are a member. You're an iGen or Gen Z. You're
Gen
a Z.
Z.
You're a Z.
Yes.
You're a Z.
Don't lump me in with the millennials.
Here we go. and the idea was this. Me, I, Frankie Tolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, of course. I have been doing this for years and years and years. And the only people I've had who are younger, either on Skype, or like I said, are my children. So the idea was to get somebody who, I vaguely knew about or what have you, or I was acquaintance with, because if I'd have gone up to like anybody, I know this, anybody who I didn't even, know, they would, and this has happened to me, and say, hey, why don't you come over to my house and to my little studio and everyone in the world can hear you on my radio show. That would have been, I'm on my way to hashtags, right? I'm on my way to hashtag city, babe. So I had to get somebody and, I have known Y on and off in various casual ways. So, I knew Y would be comfortable. I would be comfortable. So that's why I reached out and it worked out. And here we are going to talk about, you know, I guess the most recent audience who could be available to this show or and anything else, although this show is now, it's amazing how things that are of groundbreaking and original can be completely buried by what progresses in the area, you know, old television shows, you know, or history and things like that. And now when there's almost any possible place you could go on your phone, well, let's just say on the web, because there's still the phone, right? And to get some kind of entertainment. So you've got to pass the word that this is available and still different, but that's something we're going to get into also. And I want to start asking questions and stuff. Do you want to get all this stuff out of the way? So the Z, hey, your wife from Z. You know, your wife from Z. And we're going to talk about a number of things as a so from 1999. Well, wait, here, I have it right. Here, Gen Z, 1996.
Okay.
To 2010 are the Gen Z, and Y is here from the Gen Z to represent. Now, you know, Y can't be the voice of a generation, but we know that when we talk about the things we talk about will be coming from you, because 1996, do you have any idea? Your parents are of what generation? Right. You don't have to give ages and remember. No personal anything. Just what generation would they be? They're not my generation, are they? No. They're younger than me. They gotta be younger than I am.
I don't even know what that generation is.
How is this at the top of your head, you know how old your mother or father?
50s.
Okay. So if they're 50s, that puts them into the generation after me.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the generation after baby boomers? Wow. After baby, now I'm lost.
So already. Where do
baby younger.
Boomers fall? Where do
baby boomers fall? Baby boomers are from they're post-war babies. Post-war War II
you
babies.
You wouldn't fall into that.
Huh?
You would fall into that.
I am in that. I am in that. Yes. I'm in that area. So they would be before, if they're in their 50s. Okay. So, I mean, everybody has an idea of what we're dealing with here. I technically could be your grandfather. Technically. I would have had to have you very young, but, right?
Right. I mean, I don't know exactly how old you are.
Well, I don't know how exactly what 50s mean. If 50 is, if it's 50, if your father or mother are 50, I could definitely be your grandfather.
Right.
Okay. But if they start getting a little, right? Okay. Because believe it or not, there were kids who had kids very young in my day.
Unheard of.
Here you go, 24 to 38. Millennials these days are 24 to 38. So millennials are gone. And then I want you to start talking. When we were talking, every time we mentioned millennials, you made a distinct point not to be associated with that generation. Tell us about millennials before you go any further back. What is it about?
It's less of a personal thing with millennials. I think that the stigma behind being a millennial is a very negative one, for sure. You know, you see all these articles and jokes on the internet all targeted towards millennials, and people just kind of assume.
Now, where do I see these? What do you mean? What? Give us a
memes.
The memes are millennials. Memes on millennials.
Memes on millennials.
I had to have, when I first saw that word, I had to have somebody tell me how to pronounce it. I don't know what it was.
Meme.
Just a meme.
Yeah,
what is it?
I've heard of it. It's meme.
They're the producers or the creators of memes?
No. They are the subject of memes. People making fun of millennials. And
Z's have come up with that to criticize
millennials? Well, I guess millennials are kind of referencing themselves too in memes. It's kind of poking fun at themselves. But yeah, no, I mean, I think when you hear the word millennial, it kind of has a negative connotation to it.
Why?
People think millennials are, you know, not motivated, they're weak,
they're
soft, you know, they can't hold down a job. et cetera.
So the ones that we hear about, we being like your parents, obviously, are, you know, mature people, right. And then beyond, which would be me, beyond, oh God. that figure that is still living in the basement, doesn't have a job, always playing video games,
yeah.
This, right, an irresponsible, what else, that template?
Right.
Not to say that every millennial is like that, but it's...
I think people don't know the year ranges of the generations, so pretty much anything, you know, my age in between that and what an actual millennial would be, people just call a millennial. I think a lot of people unfamiliar with Gen Z and, you know, what that entails. Everyone just kind of lumps it all into millennial.
So the identity thing is, look, we are this.
Right.
You keep calling us this. We're not that.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that they're so negative, but it's like we have our own identity.
Right. It's, and you know, that the millennial identity is subject to so much, I guess hatred is the word.
Hatred?
Not hatred is a strong word to you. Yeah. Well, I guess not in modern days people throw around the hate.
Yeah. Criticism?
Criticism.
Just
that's
criticism
the word.
There.
Yeah. Criticism, you know, they're subject of a lot of jokes and stuff. And I have nothing against, you know, you can't have something against an entire generation of people.
Oh, yes, well, you can.
I guess you can, actually.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah.
I know people in that age group personally, I have no problem with.
Now, as far as the Z's that you know, do you share this? This is a very common thing among Z's want to separate themselves from the millennial.
I think even
negative of the
even people in my generation don't really. A lot of people don't understand where Gen Z starts and ends. So some people refer to themselves as millennials because I think there's just so much.
Just because it turned into 2000?
Yeah, people associate the word millennial with the turn of the century, so they kind of lump all of those generations into one thing.
You are, let's see, 99, so I know this because my son asked me questions. So 9/11 is just something that maybe you read about or heard about or saw videos or things like that. You know what?
Yeah, I have no recollection. I was 2 years old, 3 years old.
I remember hanging out with younger people who were fascinated that I was alive when Kennedy was assassinated.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that like? You know, I was like, what? But that's all so obvious that it's ridiculous.
Right.
Point I'm trying to make here is the things. There are many things that people have lived through that you haven't, and 9/11 is just. Not wait, 99. You're born in 99 to 2002. You're like two.
Yeah. So what I've heard about it has been told to me. Everyone, where were you when 9/11 happened? Oh, I don't know. I was.
Yeah.
Not walking very well yet. So.
So how does that affect? How does your people of your the Z's don't talk about? I mean, you learn it in school? Did you learn about it in school? Is it like we learned about like World War II? Were you learning about 9/11?
I mean, every year on September 11th, it's a thing in the schools, you know, to show. I mean, but we're so divorced from that because, you know, the people that we don't know, we don't have any personal ties to it, really.
So it's kind of like me growing up in Washington's birthday. I mean, who the frick knew George Washington?
It's just a day off of work. Or no, you don't even have off work for that day, I'm sure.
What?
What is
that,
president?
We used to have, well, yeah, I know, but we used to have, there used to be two holidays in February.
Yeah.
Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday were separate.
Oh, and then
and we got
off. And
yeah, we were, when we, yeah, and then they
like, oh,
did
that's
that.
Too many hours off, so we'll just make it
yeah,
one holiday.
Yeah, make it happen. But, so, all right, so millennials, so you really need to, or you, the Z's really want to, because they are different. I know, and so they're really different from millennials. And I know they're different in lots of different ways. For instance, what I've done when I did some, just some marketing writing here and there about things. So I learned a little bit more other than what I knew personally about, millennials. But, for instance, what it said here, the millennials versus Gen Z. Okay. Shaped, and this is something that, here's one of the things, shaped by different experiences. Now that's really, generic. Do you think you could define that? You and millennials are shaped, you by different, what are these experiences that are different from your generation to millennials? Why would you look back and go, oh, dad, or whatever? You
know? I think millennials were born right around or before the advent of smartphones and technology and things like that. And we were kind of born into it.
Yeah, I had, yeah, well, definitely had that here. You were,
I think that's a major difference.
But it was here. It just wasn't, it wasn't as progressive.
Right.
And you're right, there weren't smartphones. But there were home computers.
Computers.
Home computers would, that become like, you know, like there was.
But so much happened in that span of,
yeah.
How many years was that?
I know, we've been here for every change and we have covered that, but, so, what age do you get your first phone?
I got my first phone at the end of fifth grade, I think. So how old was I?
Wow. Here we go with that. Fifth grade, you were 13? Were you 12? 13? No, I don't know. College would be like beginning of seven. 13, I was born 12, on a cusp.
I was like
so
10, 10, 10, 9 or 10.
10, okay. Wow. Yeah, 10 years old, because I don't remember when my kids got the first phone. I remember playing, I remember my first son in my lap, and we were both playing this game of tanks. There used to be this game with these, tanks that you could see through, these tanks that used to shoot each other. And it was one of those games on the internet. It's just like ancient. I mean, it's like prehistoric compared to, you know, God, the things first person shooter, what is it? One, you know, those things?
Virtual reality now.
Yeah, that whole thing. Well, you know, here's that. We've been following that for a while. But, so you get a phone and your experience with a phone when you get it is what? I mean, this is now part of your life. That's what you hear, right? Because you see people with phones.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a phone. It was like getting like a bicycle. I don't know what
it's
would
like
be like getting.
It's a status symbol, really.
It was status.
Yes, my mom came to pick me up. I was on the playground at the end of the day with all the other kids there, and I was handed a phone because it was my sister's old phone.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even use it until eighth, ninth grade.
You had one and you didn't?
It sat in a drawer in my bedroom.
Really? Now, why was that? It was status.
Well, right? Part of it was, it was a status. I mean, on the playground, I was like, wow, I just got a new phone. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, but I wasn't texting anybody on it. I mean, I'm sure there are.
Did you not know how? And when you looked at it, what did you ask?
Oh, no, I knew how. I was familiar with it.
Okay, here we go. Okay, wait. This is it. So you get this weird, this thing now, this appendage. It's an appendage.
Right.
Right? You get it, you're 10, and you know how to work. You would, if you turned it on, you would immediately start swiping and going, and you would know where to go.
Pretty much.
Had you been doing a lot of, had you been spending a lot of time on a regular desktop?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot.
All right.
A lot of time. That definitely had something to do with it. I mean, and even from that young, you know.
Well, let's move back then, before the phone, because millennials were getting desktop. But
right.
How sophisticated was desktop? Listen to me. I know. When you're born, I'm starting this show. I mean, I'm beginning this show, right? And yet, I know how it was, as we were talking about before, things were slow. It wasn't anywhere near the way it was now. Desktop and... So how did you learn desktop? I mean, when your parents let you sit there and just go crazy and find things or what?
Yeah.
Automatically found the mouse and knew what to do?
Well, from very young in elementary school, they have you working with computers.
Okay.
That definitely has something to do with it, but I spent so much of my free time when I was a kid in my basement on a desktop computer and, you know, you just, once you figure out how to use the mouse and the keyboard.
What was the first one? You had.
It was like a big, like, Dell desktop computer. Oh, yeah. And it was, we did have,
I had a Macintosh. That's when I started with a Macintosh.
It was, not dial up was like the old thing before that, like dial up, internet service.
What do you mean? Before dial up, there was nothing. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Dial-up.
Yeah. That's what it was. That's not the computer that I had.
That thing.
My parents knew nothing about computers at that point. Modems. So, they didn't know that you could also use the landline phone while you were also on the computer.
Now, that's fascinating because they didn't know that much. Right. We didn't know that. We were stumbling along. So to teach you. But that didn't happen later on, though. In other words, you were guided through school and parents, home and school, learning about a computer, the tower, and the regular desktop computer. This is even before there were a lot of laptops.
Yeah, right? Laptops were a thing, but they just...
They weren't as big as they are. Right. Okay, so you were learning all that stuff. But when you get the phone, so you already have skills that you apply to the phone? I'm not asking you to remember,
like you go back to when you're 10.
Right?
Of course. I mean, it's all of it is based, it's just a different format of a screen. You know, the interface, it's just an interface with.
So once you learn to swipe, which is easy to learn.
Well, it wasn't a smartphone. It was an old slide Samsung, whatever.
Oh, right.
It had the sliding keyboard.
It had the
really
two. Click, you don't know the click open phone?
It wasn't a flip phone. It slid back. There was a keyboard. So it's similar to a computer.
Yeah. Like, what did they call the ones that have, what were they called? They're big black and they had a big keyboard.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? There was a brand name, wasn't it? Yeah,
one Motorola. Of those. What was it?
Yeah, one of those. I don't know. I don't remember.
It's like a mini computer.
I don't remember. that's where it began.
Yeah, that's where it began. And
how long did you have that before? Because things changed so quickly. So you were 10, you got that, and you're screwing around with that, and then what? Then comes.
I mean, by the time I actually had started using it in ninth grade, everyone at that point had a smartphone. I was the odd one out in ninth grade. I was the kid that didn't have a smartphone. And I felt no need to have one because I didn't know what I was missing, I guess. And I felt like I never had it, so I didn't really need one. And then I started making friends and everyone had smartphones and,
peer pressure.
It was peer pressure, but I wouldn't say peer pressure. It was more just like seeing everyone else with it and how convenient it was to use and, how they were all connected with each other with it. Once I actually started using the phone that I had, I was like, okay, I think it's time to upgrade.
Do you know there are less of your generation in raw numbers than there were millennials? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I don't know why that is.
There were 80 million recorded millennial births. You guys, gals, and people have only 65 million. So there's less of you, which I guess falls into the cultural history of generations and where they come from. Obviously, baby boomers were baby boomers because when whoever was alive came back from the war, that's why they're called baby boomers. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah, okay. I did.
All right. I don't mean to
it's
be
more of a celebration after the war.
I don't mean to be like, know it, but I want to know what you really know. That's why, what you know of it all. And then we're just talking in general. I want to separate, you as an individual. And for the second hour, we can talk about you as an individual Gen Z. So people who might agree or not agree with you, because no generation is totally, they're not following a rule book or a guidebook or anything like that. So how your life is, individually, progressing or digressing in the generation, is going to be another thing. So now we'll get through this. That's why I'm asking you historical stuff, because, it's amazing how, little I don't know how much I'm supposed to remember. It's not like I'm losing my mind. I'm not going there. But it's amazing how little I remember about, like, just the progression of the screen. You see this is like, I don't know how long I've had this, but what used to be here was, how big the, right? The monitors?
That's the exact one that I had.
Okay. Because I still have some of them in the boiler room. I haven't even, they're still there. But little by little, things start to change and you have to go through all that. Okay. So, what about, I don't know if we should go for minutes. Let me just go to some questions here. By the way, again, mystery why? Mystery why? It's not a mystery that it's why. It's why. Why is here? This is Cotolo Chronicles. You're listening, and I'm Frank Cotolo. Man's name is the title of the show. And, of course, here we are again. And you can later on, we remind you, Juiced Talk. I had to say that because so many people said to me, your archives are on Juiced Talk. No, not Juiced. JuicedTalk.com.
Juiced.
Is juiced, as in I have a lot of juice, I'm juiced, or as I'm drugged up, I'm juiced, I'm steroid, I'm popping, I'm whatever they call. I'm juiced. JuicedTalk.com, where you can go back, and the archives are there. I don't know how far back they go, but there's plenty of them. And this show, of course, if you go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com, can hear the show when it's rebroadcast. And nothing will be cut, nothing will be edited. And that is what they used to call a podcast. Podcasts were already available when you were born and you had a phone. Podcasts were going on, so you don't have any idea how big a change that was for people connecting digitally.
Really? I've always just been used to it. I listened to my first podcast when I was, oh God, probably eighth grade, 7th grade. I didn't know what a podcast was.
You sound
was
like, I went to 8th grade. Yeah, went to 8th grade.
That's why I speak in terms of grades, because I don't know how old I was.
And do you remember the first podcast you ever listened?
Yeah, it was something to do with video games. I was so engrossed in video games as a kid. That's why I spent so much time on the desktop computer.
Well, that's not so different than millennials.
Yeah.
Is it?
No, I would say.
In that respect, because I knew and still know some, I guess they're Z's, or right on the cusp of Z's, who video games are still in a great deal of their lifestyle.
Right.
Right?
It's just like, you know, smart technology and things like that. It's progressing so quickly.
And now, because I know this because my youngest son does, plays with people. You play with people who are in Japan and
right.
Germany or anywhere.
Yeah.
Just like. So you could play with other people online, or you could have your own game. At the time, you had to have your own game, or the ones online were terrible. That's like I was telling you.
Or you had, you know, you need to play a game with another person. They had to be physically there.
So what was the biggest game? What do you remember? Everybody remembers their first game.
It's like my first game. I've started playing video games when I was like, I would say like three. Three
Whoa.
Is young.
What games
oh,
do you remember?
Like
you
got Crash Bandicoot on like the
Crash
original
Bandicoot?
PlayStation. It
really?
Was yeah, things like that. Spyro the Dragon. That was.
Were you being criticized by the generation before you already when you were younger? When do you remember the older, just the next generation? The previous generation. When do you remember them looking at you like, hey. Yeah, little kid.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, my parents weren't really, you know, they didn't really have a problem with it. They probably should have, otherwise I would have been
with
a lot more active.
You being bullied? Or
with me playing video games.
Oh, okay.
But the millennials, the generation before me, I mean, they were all doing it too.
So there wasn't a very big difference for a while.
No.
You're kind of Z's are like maturing out of it because you're getting more into the market. Of life,
right?
And because you're working and doing all that stuff, which you weren't doing, where you're just running around kids. And probably a lot, that's where the crossover comes from, because a lot of millennials weren't. You guys came about from, I say the 50s, so you guys came about from, I don't know if millennials have, I don't think, I guess some millennials have kids. I guess
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing we'll talk about there anyway. Okay, so the differences are so obvious between you and I, the disparity is enormous, but the one before you, and that's what I noticed first, when I was hanging out, I guess I was hanging out mostly with millennials then, because I don't remember hearing it. You're so distinct about it. When we were first talking,
yeah.
And we told you things, you know, we didn't, this is all fresh now. We didn't rehearse it. What I'm saying is, when we talk, don't get mixed up with those millennials.
Yeah.
Because right now, do you, what do you have to say about millennials that, I mean, it could be worse, but I mean, what criticism do you have of your generation living, doing what you're doing right now, and at your age right now, you work.
I do.
Okay, you have a job, you work, but you still live at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a matter of economics, so we're not, we don't go there.
Yeah.
And you know, my generation, they're quick to say, oh, you're one of those kids who sit, you know, you can't even move. Not realizing how, you know, forget about the culture, the generation, I mean, the economics.
It's gotten harder over
it
the years.
It really has, yeah. I know, I've lived a number of places and moved on, and I can't believe, there's an apartment I had in Hollywood that I paid $200. A one-bedroom apartment, okay, and there was a pool and everything, okay, $235 a month. Today?
That sounds cheap to me, so.
It is okay. Cheap, but it's a one, it's not like a rat hole. We're not talking about, you'd have to go downtown, and if you went to a rat hole, you know, you were paying like $10 a week or something. You know,
I wish.
Well, you know, because it ripples and it affects everything else.
Right.
So it's like you can't have a $235 apartment and have everything else you had at that time. But that particular apartment, is going for close to $2,000 now. That's a gigantic one bedroom in a decent apartment.
And how many years has, how many years has that been?
That was 78. 78 I was paying for that in Hollywood.
And the costs,
California.
The people's salaries aren't increasing at a, you know, an equal rate.
No, well,
that's
no, my salary increased because I started doing things, but when I got there, I mean, I was literally living on the streets at one point, okay, to get myself involved just with that, nut over my head. $235. It's like, what? I have to, so I'd have to work and it would take a while to do that. I guess there is some kind of scale that may go with it, but except now, to make the kind of money you have to make to get a place, the cheapest place. Well, you talk about moving out. Have you looked at apartment? I don't know any about these markets or who's living. What is someone paying for like a one bedroom apartment?
The cheapest I found, which I think is a lot cheaper than, you know, most others I've heard about, is like, it's a one bedroom apartment and it's like 500.
Well, hey, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really good. But of course, we're not in, you know, that 500.
In San Francisco or.
Or even in Brooklyn, like where I was, when I went back to Brooklyn where I grew up, I was just fascinated. There were, you know, there's like $1 million houses.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million houses. Like what? You know, that are nothing.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so let's go to your generation, and let's forget about millennials now, because they're close to retirement now. They're not. They're on their way to wherever they're on their way. I don't know. But your generation, do you feel, are you in a similar lifestyle situation as a lot of the people you know your age from your generation?
Yes.
You are.
Yes.
And those, and what makes that, what makes it similar? One, you don't have your own place?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say people are waiting longer now to move out.
Okay.
Rather than, you know,
longer
as
than,
soon as they turn 18.
Not longer than millennials, because they planted their feet. They're sitting soundly. You know?
I mean, I don't blame them for it, because it's
tough.
It's harder. It's a lot harder than it was for my parents.
Okay. So that's common. You have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the comedy. So I know you're not, I mean, you're kind of like me. We're not necessarily templates of people our age.
Right.
We might be able to, and I don't, that doesn't mean, gosh, I don't take anything away from the millennials and the Z's I knew. Just whips. I mean, it's just really smart. They might not be socially smart. You know, they might be doing things that make them look or be judged as dumb from people older than them, but they're smart. There's no way out of that.
It's just cultural differences.
Yeah,
in the
it's fascinating to me, because I grew up with idiots. I don't even want to say idiots, because an idiot, because if we Freudian defined it, it wasn't even people that free. You got to be free to be an idiot, you know? I'm talking about stupid. I guess that's a word we can use. I grew up with very stupid people. Inner city, But you guys and gals and people are smart. So let's find another common thing you have with them, okay? I mean, just culturally. You have a job, but you still live at home. And you do have a goal. You don't sit back and go, you know, I could stay here and I could stay. I stay here and then, when the time comes or whatever, or there I could take care of them and I can have that. And I could, you don't think.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Do you think?
I got to go.
Moving on. Okay, moving on. Is that common?
Yeah, I would say a lot of people my age in this generation feel trapped a lot of the time because, you know, they want bigger things. They mm-hmm. they know that there's more mm-hmm. out there than just, you know, the small town that they grew up in.
So you're saying not just moving out, you're saying like moving on. I mean, yeah.
I think maybe we just want too much in such a short span of time, but
maybe there's just more of you out there like I was, because I mean, it was very early when I knew I'm if I stay here, I'm gonna die. I can't stay here.
The longer you stay, the harder it is.
And then, you know, and I know of people who lived, you know, in the same neighborhood all their lives. The parents lived there, the grandparents lived there, you know, this. And to do things like I did, you know, even late in life, actually 28, to just leave, you know, was a big thing. 28. I was saying, for God's sake, so, you know, how could people who fought in a war tell me that's like weird? Mm-hmm. But what's about parents too? Because parents have changed also as the culture has changed. Okay. So you're talking about getting out. You're talking about, well, you know, if an opportunity came up and I want to get out and live my own life and have my own place. And if an opportunity came up, you would seriously consider it wherever it might be. Because, okay.
Yeah.
Not afraid of being stuck wherever you go or anything.
Just, I think that's how you grow. It's
part
just,
of, yeah.
That's a part of the growing process. I mean.
And you're saying a lot of Z's you know?
Are, yeah. There's quite a few people I know who were just afraid to be stuck.
Afraid to be, okay. Okay.
They feel that the longer they stay, that the harder it is. And I would agree with that, you know, cause you start growing roots in the place that you're staying and it gets harder to.
Yeah.
Just up and leave whenever you
also,
like.
Also, it's according to what you would like to do, mm-hmm. because there are certain places where you still, you know, have you traveled a lot or?
Not, I mean, the farthest south I've gone was Florida.
I'm so glad you said farthest and not furthest and that you said it correctly. that's a plus for me because I'm always defending people. Go ahead. What's the farthest you've gone?
It was Florida, but it was, Florida. It was just a short
Florida
vacation.
Sucks. Everybody knows I have this on the record. Florida sucks. I just don't get along with that kind of.
I was there for a week and I was at a resort, so I didn't get to experience much of the Florida culture.
Well, it is true. A lot of old people go to Florida and they're tough to deal with. Even for me, when I'm not a young person.
The stupid old people that you grew up with.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, don't laugh. That's true. That's true. We're here at the end of the first hour. And as you know, it is going fabulously wonderful and wonderfully fabulous. Do not worry. There's so much to talk about, and we could stay on as long as we want, but we're only going to stay on so long, and then, you know, we could always have Y back.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're automatically invited back. Now, let's look at some other cultural things that are part. The other day, I'm talking to some of my friends, or people at least closer to my age, and, you know, the drug thing comes up, so quick these days, and it's a solid only one thing drug thing, you know, the whole opioid thing mm-hmm. that's going on. And recently I talked to somebody I know, I did not know that his daughter, you know, died, mm-hmm. These things that have happened. So it gets really close to home. But the other day I was talking with people, because they brought up something and I said, whatever happened to people who knew how to take a lot of drugs?
They all died off.
No, it's true that people are like, we're still alive. I'm fascinated at how one particular generation is, you don't hear, when you hear about the drug problem in your generation, mm-hmm. and I guess millennials, it spills over into yeah. them too. because the older they get, the more tension, the more pressure it might be. But it's amazing to me that that is the, you could pinpoint this issue, to just the opioid, explosion. Nobody is sitting around saying, well, my day was like, he took that acid, and you know what he did? He went on the roof, and he thought he was a bird, and he flew off, and he broke every bone in his, and I'm talking, these characters that I hear in my head are these people, right?
Yeah.
But you don't hear, you know, you just don't hear about, the campaign to rid yourself of acid. It's still out there, and I know that's probably worse than ever. It's probably not, nothing like what we had, but you know, all you hear about, and all they calculate for that is this opioid thing. Mm-hmm. Why is the drug culture, what is the drug culture like in, you must know people, you don't have to tell them that, but where are you, you're living this.
Yeah.
So, and you know people who would go like, oh, come on, right? Have you been out? And people have said, take up a pill, do the little.
I mean, I've seen, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in like social settings and stuff.
Do you personally know anybody who?
There are a couple people that went to the same high school as me.
See?
One person specifically that I was at the school that I was at the same time, and they died from, I think, a heroin overdose.
That's it. That's
someone
the opioid.
That I saw.
That's what opioid get. That's what it does. That's wild because we hardly knew people our own age who died. And you could name people, right. You might know, and I'm going to name people that they know who died or were involved or are still involved with the whole opioid thing. And I can only equate that with people who went to jail. I was like, people who became criminals or went that way, not died of drugs. Because we're not talking about people from inner city. We're talking about anybody. And that's the whole thing about this. But you don't hear. Nobody says, and you know, remember the big ecstasy thing and all that stuff that was going on? Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody who.
I think people now are just focusing, prescription pills is where it's, yeah. I mean, and you hear like, oh God, there's so many rappers out there like promoting these. I mean, I don't want to say promoting, but it's almost glorified in a way in like the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool if you are drinking promethazine and codeine.
But you know, that was done in the big trigger in my time. Too,
yeah.
You know,
although, it just wasn't talked about as much. Or?
It wasn't, what do you mean? People.
Was it like glorified in the culture?
Nobody was dying from it.
Right.
No, I mean, people were doing it. It was illegal. People might be getting in trouble, but everybody could get it. Everybody knew where to get whatever, you know,
and
here's something you might not know. When LSD started to become popular, it was not illegal.
I don't know if I knew that.
No, I don't think you did. It took a while. It took a while for it to grow from state to whatever it was to become illegal. It was a drug used and developed for psychologists, and people were using it. People, doctors, shrinks, were prescribing it and using it. But it was not a recreational drug.
And now it's a Schedule 1 drug.
Exactly. Because of what they done to it, I don't think you can even get the acid you got back. But I knew people who were taking, I knew younger people who were taking new acid.
New acid. New acid. That sounds like a band.
Tonight's show is brought to you by New Acid. You know, those dragons you were, that used to be seen there are no longer available hallucinogenically. It's not a word. So the drug thing, so you came, again, that's touched you because you knew people personally.
I wouldn't say personally, but I knew of these people, and it's, no, I mean, and I knew.
And even now, right? Even now.
I know there are people that I knew personally that were addicted, for sure. Still, the prescription pills, I got over it as far as I know, but it, you know, it's so glorified in our culture. You see it everywhere. It's in the music.
And okay, let's just say tomorrow you went, you know, like, I just want to give me, I just want to try. I'll take like, give me a vial of 10 milligrams of
Xanax is the big thing.
Xanax.
That's the big
thing. That's not even, is that an opioid? I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
But it's not, but is it, that's prescription.
It is. It's prescribed for, like anxiety, severe anxiety disorders.
Okay, and that's the other thing, because so much of them.
That's another aspect of it.
That has changed. You couldn't go, to a doctor and, or your parents couldn't go to a doctor, take you to a doctor and say, there's just, well, there was no ADD is what I'm saying. There was no, they didn't have any particular things to say. The kid's wild or whatever. Tell them to pay attention. Pay attention. Just pay attention. They wouldn't say like, hey, how about, this new thing called Adderall and you can focus, you know. Drugs will always be abused anyway, so we know that, but, so do you know people who are just recreational drug users?
Yeah.
Okay.
For pills?
Yeah.
Yeah, just absolutely.
And they're like, they can live, they're like I'm saying, people who could take drugs and live with it and deal with it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's usually in like private settings and stuff. And I feel like once it spills over into, you know, you need it to function, then there's really a problem going on.
Right.
But, you know, it's parties and social settings. And
so they're, and they're aware of what's going on and it's, and they, but it's but they're still recreating. It's not like these people every day, you know.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't affect.
It's like maybe drinking was when we weren't able to drink and they would, someone would have a party and take out the liquor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I go home and.
A lot of people are like, oh, I'm not stupid enough to take it that far and go down that path. No, I'll just use it recreationally.
But they
those
do.
Those are the people that know how to do it, I guess.
It's, prevalent.
Yeah.
It's just part of the scene, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, but then there's, you know, there's the other side of the spectrum of people that completely oppose it and are part of my generation.
So, you know, people who are, I don't know how to describe what a Gen Z conservative would be. Do you?
Yeah. Okay, I think there's a lot more right-leaning conservative people in Gen Z than people think. Yeah.
And what characteristics have they that you don't? What makes them conservative? They must have fixed ideas?
Yeah,
political
opinions have a lot to do with it. I mean, I think.
Well, there's
conservative politically, and then also, you know, people that are more reserved when it comes to the partying aspect, you know, and there are people that are more straight edge and I'm just going to go to work, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get my stuff together, I'm going to get everything together and have the, like,
they have,
you know, the picture perfect life.
Fixed plans.
Huh? Yeah.
Ambitions. Well, this brings up the subject of couplehood and, you know, relations. Do you know any Gen Z married people?
I do. One person.
One couple.
Who was, I believe, married when I was in my junior year of high school.
Your age?
Yeah.
Why was marriage, why was the sacrament of marriage, why did they perpetrate? I can't find a word for this. Why?
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know. You know the person.
I don't know. I mean, and there are other people that had kids that I know one person. I'm not sure exactly how many now, but that have already had children. From my generation, you know, it was probably just like an oopsie kind of thing, but you know that.
Right. That could always be the case, but the fact that they went ahead and used it as a part of their life is another story. Yeah. So, what about couplehood as for Z? Because millennials have very big issues with. Not yet with, it's not, well, I mean, they go into tribes. Of course, there's sexual identity. There's that whole thing. But the idea of, being monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what I'm trying to get at. Where does that stand in general? Because, I mean, I'm going to tell everyone, your why is not like, you know, like, it's not like a big city guy, so there's not all these things sort of flash. This is, you know, your very typical area of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost middle America in a sense. Yeah. So where is that?
With Gen Z.
With Gen Z, yeah, that's right.
I think people are more open to more than just monogamous relationships. Like, you know, polyamorous relationships or, you know, the friends with benefits kind of thing. I think people my age for sure are more so open to that than previous generations, you know, strictly two people together. Yeah, I know people personally that were in polyamorous relationships, you know, that were seeing more than
one. Now that's funny because we're not just talking about not being monogamous. You're talking about, give us the word again,
polyamorous.
Polyamorous. Now being polyamorous, people are aware of. Mm-hmm.
It's not a secret.
Yeah, so these aren't like sneaking out and having little things. They're not together. No one's together, is what you're saying.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say no one. I just think it's a lot more accepted. Well, yeah,
what I mean is none of these polyamorous people are together.
It's all just kind of. It's like I know someone personally who was in a relationship with another person, but they were also okay with them seeing other people.
I'm in an open relationship.
That's the word I was looking for.
So you know people.
I do.
Do you know how that affects them?
The particular case that I'm thinking of, it didn't go over well. One person decided that they didn't like it anymore. And then
the competition begins.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think it's a lot. People are more open to that now than previously.
So they're less. So commitment is not a fixed. In a circle of 100%. What is commitment? Is it to Gen Z's? Here's the circle, 100%. So commit. How many people do you think in the 100% are like? I should, you know, commitment.
I think people are afraid of commitment.
Oh, so there's fear involved.
Because they don't want to be tied down to one thing. They want to keep their options open.
That's not necessarily a generational thing. So yeah. There are a lot of people, although, you know, like in my generation, the movement, the steps, the levels were, to go there, and then you get married and settle down.
Right.
Like settled down is like something
plan for
anyone could understand. Although a lot of people did. Right. So commitment is frightening. You're saying commitment is a fear.
Yeah. I think personally, I like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, personally. Okay. Let's talk personally.
But generationally, I think people, I'm not sure if it's exactly a generational thing. Actually,
so you're not afraid of commitment? I mean, it's not much you know about.
I think it's comfortable. I think people in my generation like to put themselves out of their comfort zone, you know?
Oh, okay. As opposed to more so than generations before you? It's just them all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are, you know, and that goes back to the whole, people feel like they're stuck. You know, they need something new and, you know, they're staying at home longer because that's all comfortable things, you know, that's what you're used to. But I think my generation doesn't exactly want that.
So that explains a move from commitment, really, because you can get tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not just pertinent to relationships.
Right.
Right? Jobs.
Jobs, yeah.
Jobs. Who do you know? And that, of course, spills over. There's always these crossovers, right? Because today I would imagine, I have to just look at facts and statistics, men, girls and guys and people in between are working regardless.
Yeah.
Right? It's not... So they get into a commitment. A girl's not looking to get into a commitment so she can sit back and get fat and cook or whatever
it
is.
The housewife
people
role.
Thought. Yeah. What about those roles? Who would be role models in this, out there, for your generation in terms of this stuff we're talking about, these senses? Because, you know, movie stars go out with other people and rock people and celebrities, move around, but they do deal with commitment.
Yeah.
Even ones of your age. What are your pals and people and acquaintances in terms of role models?
I would say that this is why Twitter and Instagram and like social media and that's all such
started.
A big yeah. That's,
we haven't even started.
That's
with
why
that.
That's all such a big thing.
We'll go there next.
That's,
so let's
that's
move
the
into
role
it.
Models that people look up to is, you know, if you have what they, it's what they call Instagram influencers and things like that.
Oh,
that,
I gotta, that I gotta write this one down. Wait, I never heard that one. Instagram influencers.
Yes, people who actually their career is to pretty much live their picture perfect life, you know, usually.
Did you say influences?
Influencers, yes. And they, you know, posting like pictures. Only the glamorous aspects of their life, so you know, people are fooled into thinking that that's how life always is, and that's what they want. And
so they're creating an image that they want to project.
That's all social media is. It's just the parts of people's lives that they want you to see.
Well, yeah, I guess, yes. Okay, if you want to call it social media, because social media, yeah, okay. But, okay, let's get to that. As I told you, you know, I learned about Twitter before it was really gigantic when right. we were talking about it. It was introduced here. And now Twitter itself more than the other ones. And I've talked on the show about Facebook. We know how it's just gone to your parents.
Yeah, pretty much.
That that generation has taken that. But the Twitter thing. The Twitter thing I found fascinating. One, I did a show last year sometime where I went to Periscope online. And went, I wasn't on it, but I was, well, we have done that though with someone else. We've gone on to Periscope at the same time, but I was fascinated when I first got a Periscope and looked into it about what you're talking about. But I'm fascinated by the way that people are finding to make money offering private services. I'm not talking like this Tinder, the dating and stuff like that. I'm talking about, displaying images.
Streaming, yeah.
Streaming images. I still don't know how to go. I don't even know how to go private on. I don't, they, yeah. People go, you want to go private? I don't know how to go private. I don't even know what it is. And then someone will go, yeah, we'll go private for $10. And then you'll get into, you know, the new way people pay and mm-hmm. people with the cash. I didn't know about a Cash App till.
Yeah.
I knew those green things. I knew they existed, those things you buy. I didn't know that people were actually going, oh, you get Cash App.
Cash App.
Does PayPal, doesn't mean PayPal anymore? No one even cares.
PayPal's still,
still there. But I'm fascinated at how people are just regular people are just willing, not just willing to do some of the things they do to any number of people in an audience, but that they're willing to take money because it's just part of your life. Yeah. Is it? And their audience is. I'm surprised there's so much. There's enough of an audience, is what I'm surprised.
Yeah.
To keep everybody going and doing it. Why are they doing it? For money? Just for money?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, there are, I mean, there's so many different ways to go in social media and try to make money that way. Through streaming and like private and premium Snapchats and things like that.
Okay, let's go to Snapchat because that is really your generation.
Yes.
Snapchat is your generation.
It is.
When there were Vines, remember Vines?
Vine.
Do you remember Vines?
Oh, absolutely.
You do remember Vines.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We love I'm talking.
Yeah, okay.
My
no,
generation.
Do it. Yeah, yeah. Because so we, me and a friend of mine who's a comedian, we used to do stupid things on there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they disappear. Did they disappear?
Yeah,
they, Vine
I think there's
state?
A Vine, too.
No, I mean, did the Vine things
were
disappear?
Oh, they gone? Like,
right?
Completely?
No, when they were, when you put one
oh,
on and
no,
stayed
no,
there,
no.
Right?
Yeah, it did. You would post it to a profile.
Now, Snapchat. Comes and goes? Is that, was that?
When, the, yes, when you send a Snapchat to somebody.
It has a life.
Once, yes. So once you send it to them and they open it and then they tap out of it, then it's gone. Unless they screenshot it or.
Yeah,
know,
so he's all the way around
yeah.
everything. Yeah.
Or, you know, you can post to your Snapchat story.
Now, for the reason that we're talking about anonymity here and everything, okay? is the people who developed Snapchat probably thought of that. It wasn't just for space or bandwidth or anything, right? It was the fact that, hey, people will want to do things privately, then they'll just go, you'll just send it out once and it goes. Mm-hmm. So an employer, you gotta look at, Betty Boop. I don't know why that name came out. It's just stupid. But, you know, say, hey, we're going to hire Betty Boop here. You said you check her, when there must be a, what was that called then? When you check people's history online? Wasn't there a?
Oh, the what? Your what digital footprint.
Your digital, I got to write, I didn't write down digital footprint. When they're looking for digital footprints, they won't be able to find those.
Yeah. I mean, every Snapchat you send, of course, is saved in a server somewhere.
Ah, okay.
It's never gone completely, but.
Do people have access to that?
Snapchat does. So if anything illegal were to happen, of course, they would.
Whoa. So, wait, could somebody who runs a company, or maybe this hasn't been tested in courts or whatever, but somebody who runs a company and wants to hire someone, could they go to the Snapchat people and say, or could they like subpoena them or do something and
absolutely.
Say, we want to know if this person was shaking their ass somewhere and selling it, because that would be like, right?
Well, I don't think.
You think that's
I don't think they would go that far for something as minor as that, to be honest.
Now that's great that you said that, because listen to what you say. They're now considering that to be like, wow, something they're all on Snapchat. Like
prostitution? What would you even call that?
Why would you just call it all? I would think it would reflect. It would reflect upon a person other than the sexual content. It would reflect upon a person's judgment on their image of themselves, or that a company may say, well, it's somebody who's just going to say, like, I need $20 more this week, so I'm going to go, I'm going to go on sell shaking my ass or whatever.
People do that on Snapchat. They make money off of it.
I know that. And that's where Periscope, they're all, what do they say? Sometimes they have the title, they just go to my Snapchat, add me a Snapchat.
Yeah.
And when somebody's on there promoting, because they do commercials for themselves, men and women do commercials for themselves, and they go to my Snapchat. And when they go to Snapchat, they get whatever they want, and they get these things. And then they disappear. The people who figured that out must have known this was going to be not just be popular, but this was going to be. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Used in that,
yeah,
in
I'm trying to think of how they thought. If somebody like would ask the questions, I was when they were creating it.
Snapchat wasn't always like that, though. It was
okay.
It was
what?
They made it. I want to say more permanent. I believe when Snapchat
it can't be more permanent. It's either permanent or it's not permanent.
What's the word?
They made it more accessible.
When Snapchat, I believe when they first started, when you sent a Snapchat, it was gone. Or when you posted something on your story after 24 hours, no one could view it anymore.
Right.
You had a selection when you sent a picture to someone, they could view it for 1 to 10 seconds. And after that 10 seconds was up, it's gone forever. But now you can let them look at it for as long as they want to before they tap out of it. You can save stories now. There's like
all save these stories.
So when you post a Snapchat to your Snapchat, people are able to view that story, is what they call it, for 24 hours. Before it gets deleted.
I mean, those are the ones who are on when they say who's on, who's
yeah, and you
showing
can like see
now.
What people are doing. That's someone's Snapchat story. It's like pictures or videos of whatever they're doing. You know, I mean, now people save them, not other people, but people save them, and they can set it so that people can look at it for an infinite amount of time. And Snapchat used to be just strictly like sending pictures and videos to people for 10 seconds max.
Okay. Do you know anyone who uses Snapchat for reasons to make any kind of money?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I do.
So you know either a male or a female who goes on there and just shows up and says, and promotes. They do their little advertisement.
Yeah, she
and says.
Oh, I guess I'm.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm identifying her.
Well, you know what? I've seen so few men doing it.
Yeah,
not that I've looked all the time, but there's not that many people in the gay world. They're doing. I don't know what they're doing elsewise, but they're doing other things. They're not. But what I'm saying is, the most I've seen are all girls.
Right.
And so tell me, you know, don't mention anyone. But what she goes on, she does her. Gets on.
There's so usually with.
By the way, I'll be wanting that name after.
Oh no!
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. So she has a Snapchat account uh-huh. where she's friends with thousands of
people. Wow.
Probably a lot of them she doesn't even know, but
I'm sure.
She promotes her premium Snapchat on that Snapchat. She says, buy my premium Snapchat. If people send her money for it, they then get access to that premium Snapchat. She will add them.
Does she go to Periscope and do commercials and try to get people? Or does
it's like,
she's
so
advanced.
Many,
she's way out. She is. She's so advanced.
She makes so much money off of it. So much money. She's always on.
I hope she knows how to do accounting, because she's going to get in a lot of trouble making all that money and not.
Yeah.
There's still a way of getting into a lot of trouble that way.
I feel like, it's just people sending her money on Cash App. So could she use that as like.
When you earn
money. I don't know how it works.
This is one thing you guys got to learn how it works, okay?
I don't plan on getting a premium Snapchat.
No, I don't mean that in any possible way. What dollars should you. You don't want to get
account
in trouble.
For.
Yeah, not. But, and those aren't, even if they consider them gifts or donations. I did a show last year about, there's a site that, follows the GoFundMe scams. Because there are so many.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, I'd said about the, internet from the very beginning, especially when this was going on, was that whatever is developed, there's going to be an anti-developer. I mean, whatever happens, someone's going to figure out how to get around that, which is why many members of your generation, and I don't know millennials that much, but I think it started with millennials, okay, are able to go to places and get free movies and and download things that are just those industries have not been able to deal with. With how, right. you know, that's taken care of.
It's so rampant.
Yeah.
Pirating,
which, people who listen here aren't on that. We're on that from the beginning, because when the corporations, when the mainstream started worrying about pirating, it was because they didn't understand sharing. Because the internet was originally about sharing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you sold things, you could consider it pirating. But the industries that were being affected were ruthless. They called it all pirating.
Mm-hmm.
If you shared something, it was pirating. Because someone's supposed to get money for that, okay?
Yeah.
That's where that whole imbroglio started. But today, I don't know how you monitor whatever you monitor with, but people having their own little shows and doing stuff with money. What fascinates me about that is not even the fact that, I mean, everything is so free anyway. I don't know how somebody, how are there so many people not doing it? The audience. Where is this audience coming from? For instance, she has 1,000, let's just say she has 1,000 people. I don't care, they're men, they're gay, whatever they are, right? 1,000 people. Those 1,000 people are not devoted to her. They must be going around other places too, right?
They probably have our
How big is this audience? Or how does one person able to carry this, you know, my electricity this week was this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness, I gotta cut down on my Snapchats. It's costing me $200 a month.
Well, she announces it, like when she needs money especially. She's like, oh, I have this court fee coming up, so I'll be hitting Snapchat.
A court fee. Now wait a second. Now this now we got a person who
She's
we know
unique.
Has yeah okay unique is what we said, but it's not focused just on people like that though. I mean, I I don't know the people who do it, but if I go on, if I go on Periscope, I'm not even going on Snapchat. If I go on Periscope, you know, every hour, because people are coming in and out and going in and out, you know, I would say 50 to 60% are girls, and maybe there's a guy or two in there, or who are, you know, promoting their Snapchat and looking for business. That's remarkable, you know? Because I don't understand how they are able to get the audience they get, even though there's millions of people out there. How many people are, you know, let me tell you this too. When we began, this, the first industry, really take advantage of the internet was the porn industry. They'd been two steps ahead of everybody. Okay. And they really saw an upswing in, pornography audience when the internet came about, okay? But things started to close in. And of course, just like I said, people were paying for things, that, okay, just like they're doing, which is, you know, that now, right?
I know, it's like free.
Exactly, exactly. If you can go anywhere and get any, pretty much any kind of porn you want, what are you doing? I mean, but what I'm saying is that the porn industry has been really affected by all this. They're having problems. People in the industry, some well, the ones I knew are gone, you know, retired, looking for ways to make a living now because they can't, even though there's so many genres. But with all the amateurs there are out there doing this kind of stuff, we, this audience, it's like you said, there's so much.
Like, who's willing to do it? Who's willing to be the audience?
How is anybody making any money
when there's so many?
Yeah, because isn't the audience limit that you think those 1,000 people are loyal? That's it? That's all I do?
It's the allure of making the individual client, I guess I'll say, feel special, because she also sells, private chats,
right,
you
but
know,
she's,
some pictures.
She alone is, but she's a member of a tribe. Of,
right.
She's the only one doing
who
it.
Are doing, all
like,
doing the same
it,
thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's unbelievable.
I guess people just want to feel special and they want to have a large selection of people to choose from.
It just, to me, it means like, I just don't, forget about it being free. Let's say it's not free.
Yeah.
Let's say somebody doesn't want to go and get it free for any which what reason, and they're going to pay, right? They're not gonna get one, they're not gonna commit, by the way, to one particular person to get off with. They're gonna wanna, they're gonna, oh, look at this one, look at that one, look at this.
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna start costing some money.
Mm.
How big is this audience that there's that many people who would do it? I don't know, because I don't know the statistic of what these people are making, but you're telling me about someone who's making a decent living.
Yeah, and I mean, and there's that's other, it. She promotes other people on her.
How could you promote?
I don't know. Maybe they have like a group thing, like a collective business going on. I'm not sure.
They somehow, yeah, they work with one another. Oh man, it's amazing. But do you guys see it? But it's like, that's what I mean. To me, it's amazing, and I look into it all sorts of different ways, and that's just me, what have you. But you guys, this is all just here or there. It's all just here or there. Every day. What is it?
I mean, I guess we're used to it at this point. I don't really.
Do you go to Snapchat?
No.
For no reason. Now, let's talk about you, your.
I don't get into all that. I feel like in that regard, I'm very conservative.
You
person.
Moved away from social media, per se.
I did.
Okay. And this is not necessarily a trend in your generation, is it?
It is. I think the you know, the statistics and the evidence that it's unhealthy, you know, I think my generation is more and more aware of. I mean, I see so many people that complain. It's like a normal thing in my generation to be like, oh, I spend so much time on my phone, or I spend so much time scrolling through Twitter, but they do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it is an addiction.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, these algorithms are developed to, you know, show you what you like to see and then nudge you in like certain directions.
Okay, so you guys have conspiracy theories about
this
how they're getting you
this
in?
This is not a tinfoil hat
right?
conspiracy theory.
No?
This is how the algorithms for Facebook and Twitter and they work. And YouTube is a huge one. You know, you click on things that you like, the it gets an idea of the content that you want to see.
Right. Well, you know that. Yeah.
And then it nudges you in certain directions and like the consequences.
Well, it's the suggestion, but I wouldn't necessarily call it a suggestion that makes it addictive. Because your generation was born with, this is yours. This, you know nothing else. You don't know television, looking at television change, right? You don't know. You could get, you know what I learned last week? I learned that if a movie is on HBO and I come in 12 minutes later, I didn't know that I could say, start this movie from the beginning. I had no idea this could happen. This is all second nature, you.
Yeah.
Right? So, where do you find it debilitating? You suddenly said, and I understand you're unique, but there's other people said are going, I don't know, I shouldn't be, or I'm not this, or I.
Virtually
disappeared at one point.
I did. I mean, I realized how much time I was spending on it. You know, every minute that I'm scrolling through Instagram or whatever, I could be spending doing something productive, and I almost felt guilty in a way. Like I would, and now on iPhones with the newest update, it shows you your screen time. It shows you It shows you how many times in an hour you pick up your phone just to look at it.
Really,
it shows you what the breakdown, like percentage of like what apps you're viewing the most. It shows you how many hours you're spending a week looking at your phone. And you know, I felt like it was way too much. If I'm spending constant time looking at a screen, you know, I'm not really, what am I doing? You know, how many hours am I wasting just looking at stuff that isn't,
so you weren't using it. You didn't see it as a tool.
It absolutely is a tool.
It is a tool.
But it's developed into something.
You know, how you use it.
How you use it is a problem. It's not a bad thing per se.
So you made a conscious decision on how you were going to use it. It's like, I know you have a phone, right?
Yeah.
Right? You said, I'll use it for this.
I use my phone, you know, to look things up. And I use it. I still have Snapchat. I use it for communication purposes only. But there's only
how do you communicate? But why wouldn't you use Periscope or just send emails or do? Why would you use Snapchat?
I don't know. You take pictures of things. There are really like two people that I communicate with on Snapchat. The rest I could probably like clear out of my friends list. But a lot of them are close friends that I want to keep in contact with. A lot of them, some of them are like co-workers that I need to talk to about work-related things.
So what's the percentage of people that you could see, meet, or do anything with because they're in your world, in your circle of your lifestyle? How many of those do you need on Snapchat? If you could see them, talk to them, why is that communication better than just like sending an email or calling somebody?
I love phone calls. I'm a big phone call person because there's a difference. When you're sending a text to someone, you're thinking about it. You're editing it. You know, as you go along, like you were saying.
Well, you are.
Everyone. If you look at you know,
people are getting better with the texting full sentences and things.
Yeah. Like well, that. I edit it in the way that you say exactly what you want that person. Conversation through a phone call is so much more organic, I feel.
Okay.
You know, it flows better when you're texting. It's choppy.
But Snapchat, you have. For what? I mean, why would that...
Maybe that's just another addiction I haven't broken yet.
Maybe you have Snapchat and you don't need it.
You know, it's not something I use often. You know, I have like a couple friends that I will just communicate with occasionally, but
I need over here. They don't even see me. I should have had a clipboard here.
Yeah,
I would see things we went over to. Okay, that leads us to. Have you ever used Tinder?
Tinder?
Yeah,
I used it probably like a year ago, like off and on. It seems so shallow to me. I mean, it is.
So just in general, then, in the, you know, digital matchups or meeting people, have you done that?
Absolutely.
That's a good one. Absolutely.
I mean, it's like a common thing.
Friday night, I think I'll find somebody I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people view it as helpful because it expedites the process. It's just like an immediate, like, oh, swipe left. I'm not interested. And then someone catches their eye. You know, it's so fast. But
still, it's ancient. But it's the ancient attraction thing anyway.
Right.
You look at
someone and you immediately
write them off. I know that person. I know. This is what everyone does with their eyes in the world, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's really no different. So, and you still have to go through, whatever is that person like. But, well, maybe you don't have to. These are kind of like one, in other words, with this kind of connection, two people may understand, tell me if I'm wrong, if you did this, two people can understand when they meet, and you're saying to yourself, or could you say to them, I liked your picture a little better. What'd you do to yourself? And they went like, yeah, you look a little different too. Well, let's just swipe ourselves out of this meeting.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They glamorize themselves for the image that they want to project to people.
Sure.
And anyone who uses Tinder.
You pay for that when you're face to face.
Yeah.
But do people understand?
Most people don't expect it to go that far, to be honest.
What do you mean?
Anyone who uses Tinder or has used Tinder will tell you that 99% of interactions that go on are just hey, what's up? And it's very quick, and then loses interest and it doesn't go anywhere, and you stop talking forever, and you unmatch with them.
So you don't even meet them or match them. I mean, you're saying
never held a conversation with anyone on Tinder that has lasted more than like,
You can chat too.
Yeah,
how do you match with a person? They have to say yes, and you say yes.
Yes, and then after you've matched with them, you are able to text them.
Are there as in other social media platforms and other dating? If they're specifically datings, aren't there a great deal of phony fakes? Aren't people trying to connect to you to get either information or something? Frauds, fakes, phonies. Or is Tinder like what? Really?
I don't know. I'm not like a Tinder expert. I've not encountered.
What about other dating thing or social media?
I think it's honestly people that are just looking for an easier way to connect with someone.
Do you know this is the show? This is the place. I'm calling the show. This is the place that I don't even know about. That broke the story of the Nigerian email fraud. You've heard about the Nigerian email fraud?
Yes.
It started.
Wire me. We're the ones.
Yeah. We're the ones who found out about it and talked about it and warned people about it. And I took that all the way through to I've done a show where I've been in contact with somebody trying to, to fake me out for money and stuff like that while online. And what I'm thinking of, I know in dating sites, there are still plenty of, there are dating sites set up as, and they're fraudulent from the start. Marry a Russian girl. Right? Yeah. There are all these things. And then all this mail. Because I've been connected to all this stuff, finding out, and fooling people, having them think they're fooling me and then, I'm not policing it. I'm just saying, to tell other people about phonies. And I think when I think about Tinder, and I haven't seen it, so I don't even seen it to do it. But there's got to be fakes, aren't there? You never ran into a fake. All real people.
I used Tinder for a very short period of time, off and on. But I can imagine that it's out there for sure. I mean, it's an easy way of scamming someone. Well, I mean, like, catfishing, for example, if you're familiar with that.
Tell everyone what the phrase means.
Catfishing is using fake images or images of another person, usually an attractive person, to kind of lure someone in.
Well, there's a fake right there.
Yeah.
Catfishing fake.
I guess I was thinking more along the lines of what are they
looking to get? Money? I mean, they're trying to get information.
Maybe I think a lot of the times, I don't know what goes through the mindset of someone trying to catfish someone, but maybe they just want to meet up with someone and just hope that they're okay with the fact that it's not actually the person they thought they were meeting up with. There's a whole show based around this, you know, like it's called Catfish. And
Was a Catfish series?
There's a TV show called Catfish where they find people who were catfish and they kind of like hunt down like the person that was. Yeah, it's prevalent enough of a thing to have its own TV show for sure.
You know, it's just, you know, the oldest scams in the book. And then who has that book, by the way? Anyone who said that? It's the oldest thing in the book. What
Never
book?
Read it.
The book that of scams, the book of scams. The oldest scams in the book have all been modified and translated into each new technology, right? I mean, it's like there's just nothing new about all this stuff. There were scams. There were, what's it called? Not drop and spill. Now they just go on. No, bait and take. Bait and switch. Drop and spill. Like, wait, remember they used to tell you if you're on fire? What was it? Drop and roll. There you go. Drop and roll. Yeah, the bait and switch thing is as old as the worst card trick. You know, the phoniest card trick. And that's really all that manages to be.
It is, yeah.
When you meet this person, you're like, that's not you. You either like that or not like that, or go, but I'm glad it's you.
Well, there are also people that will be fake. There'll be like a fake profile. I've seen this before. And then they try to promote like a website or something.
Okay, those are the kind of things I was talking about.
I was thinking along the lines of like Nigerian email scam where they're trying to get
money. Just the email, yeah. Yeah. No, but on those dating sites, I could spot them a mile away. And you know what they do? Sometimes they use
bots and things like that.
Well, the bots, they're all bots. But they use pictures of people that can be identified.
Yeah.
I've seen porn stars. We say porn stars, they're not all stars. Porn.
Actors,
okay. Porn actors. And it says, you know, and it says, Ellie. And then it has Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That is not Ellie.
Oh, like advertisement.
You know?
No,
it's like a person, a profile. That's a profile. You know, and every time I see that, I stick it in and I go, you're not Ellie. You're, you know, Dinny Dally. I know because it's fake. And then they disappear. And there's ways of finding fake ones on social media too. But they only have one picture. It looks too professional.
That's a giveaway.
Can you find that on? You find the?
Yeah.
Tinder has how many pictures? Just one? Is it like a whole page?
I feel like it changes a lot. You have like multiple pictures.
You can't. Jeez. And the time, and this is all quick. I'm saying the time it takes to do this. But the other thing, we mentioned this before though, you and I mentioned this, and that is that one person has so many places, so many, you have Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, and you even see this in the commercial things. You go, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
What are the top?
The big ones?
Everyone's got what?
I'd say.
All the Z's have what?
I'd say that number one is Twitter for my generation, at least.
Still Twitter. Okay.
Then, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, of course.
I think
those are the biggest ones.
Rapidly
Facebook,
falling off the list, isn't
people
it?
People use Facebook nowadays just to scroll and like look at videos and like funny pictures and things like that. And
do they use? There's other services though, because I know people use it for. Like local news and television and stuff. Right. Because there are Facebook.
And there's like Facebook Marketplace now where people sell things.
Oh, is it?
It's kind of like an eBay kind of thing.
Okay.
Except you do it through Facebook.
And and what about, where are the social connections being made then? It's not Tinder. Tinder's not the main. Are there a number of social apps that are being used? Or is there one more popular? Or is Tinder just it?
I think Tinder, as far as relationships, I think Tinder is.
Wasn't Tinder originally a homosexual meeting place?
No, I think you're thinking of Grindr.
There you go. There, Grindr, right.
Grindr is more like
that's
hookups.
Tinder's not a hookup?
Well,
a
actually,
gay,
no.
It's a gay thing, right?
No, yeah, Tinder.
What you're saying is Grindr is sex. It's not hookup. When you say hookup, it's...
I would say Tinder is primarily dating, yeah, and there are people on Tinder for hookups, and Grindr is primarily hookups, but there are people in there looking for relationships.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess there'll always be those who fall into that. But Grindr was originally... But wasn't it originally a... I can't even say homosexual. That would be...
Grindr?
Gay, male.
Grindr still is.
It's, oh, so there you go.
That's, Bumble is another one. Bumble is one for...
Are there any for women?
I mean,
exclusively? Or is,
Grindr? Yeah, there is. There,
there's gotta be. That's the thing today, right?
There's so many.
There's gotta be.
So many Tinder-like apps.
Wow. You're still here. We're still here. Scatolo Chronicles. We're with why. It's not a question, but we are asking why questions. And why is they really have? You really haven't said anything. I'm not. I want you to blow around anonymity. I'm saying you know, really haven't said anything that would get yourself in trouble. I want to give you whatever time we have left, and which is whatever time we have left. Until maybe we do it again and there are more things we can talk about as we run out of time here. But, what do you have to say that you would say in this particular platform to your audience, to anybody out there in terms of being, I don't know. What do you have to say? What do you have to say for yourself? Why? He looks at his watch.
Yeah. It's a smartwatch.
What is it? Really?
It's a Fitbit. It's
Wait, let me. I've never seen a smartwatch.
Let me see. It's used for fitness purposes.
Oh my God! It does. And you look at this. You're swiping a watch. Is this Apple?
No, I don't have an Apple Watch.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit out of
look
my price
this.
Range. Yeah, no, Fitbit is for like exercise and fitness purposes. It shows
your
heart rate.
You're gonna need glasses by the time you're.
I have contacts. I have terrible vision.
Does a lot of it have to do with it? That's what I hate about smartphones. It's just too small.
Yeah.
And look at this. That is amazing.
You know, it tracks your steps and your heart rate.
Well, don't worry. We'll get you out of here.
Yeah, no.
When you got to go.
No, I'm not worried. Okay. I receive texts on this as well.
Whoa,
so
really?
It buzzes.
How do you see it?
It vibrates.
And how small? No, but how small is a text? I mean, is it limited to like, oh my God. Oh, look at that. Okay.
Anyways.
Generation Z. Generation Z. Say what you got to say. Say your piece. I'll shut up.
I think that a lot of what older generations have to say, I think people sell Generation Z a little bit short, but I do think that there are a lot of aspects where my generation is lacking that I'm totally not exempt from. I'm definitely lumping myself in with them. I'm not trying to have a superiority complex here. Put myself on a pedestal. I think Generation Z just has problem solving skills. No, a lack of problem solving skills rather. We were born into an age of luxury and comfort in a way, mm-hmm. where we, you know, everything we want is at our fingertips. So, you know, if we want to know what the weather is, we can find it immediately on our phone, or we just ask our phone, or we ask our Amazon Echo, Alexa, that's sitting in our room, or if we want to, you know, the entire resource of human history and knowledge is in our pocket. And I think that we are just used to that. And we have, you know, parents, a lot of us have parents that kind of held our hands through everything, and didn't want to let go. Because it's a big, scary world, and I think that if you have children that you do not teach from a young age to be independent and do things for themselves, they grow up and they feel like they have to be told to do everything. They need the validation to be told that what they're doing is right and that what they're doing is okay and they're on the right path and this is how you do this and this is what you need to be doing. And if you raise a child like that, it creates a whole generation of people that are not self-sustainable, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, providing for themselves. And I think that's a big problem that a lot of my generation is stuck in, is having to constantly be validated.
Wouldn't that be the fault of the parents?
I think so.
If we have to get blamed, I mean, someone's got to be blamed for this, right?
Yeah, I think that parents have a lot to do with it, but I think a lot of people in my generation don't, or they're okay with that comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay with having things done for them. And it comes from laziness and a lack of discipline, I think. Like self-discipline.
Well, this is a whole nother show, but it's fascinating. We didn't get to that point. We didn't get a couple of things we didn't get to, so we are going to have to. But that's
weakness.
I hear that from a lot of my generation about how, you know, I don't necessarily think I'm a great father in some ways, you know, because of the things you're talking about. And I know how I was raised, and you can't be raised the way you were. But like I said, this is a whole nother show. It's almost strange to hear that because it's a confession of sorts.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's something that I've really come to terms with and realized in the past year or so. When I looked around at my generation and I was like, this is a generation of people that want things done for them. And don't, you know, if mommy and daddy are holding your hand throughout your entire life, once they're gone or they need to let go, then you're stuck out by yourself and you don't know what to do. And you cry because no one's doing it for you when really you have no one else to blame but yourself for not having the self-discipline to just...
I didn't know you had a sister. You have a sister?
I do have a sister.
She older?
She is.
By how much?
She is 26, so she's...
Oh, he's a lot older.
Yeah. So yeah, well, what is she falling into millennial territory?
Oh, Grandma Y there. Wow. Does she? She might.
Millennials, 24 to 38.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to go home and make fun of her and call her a filthy millennial.
Does she have these problems? I mean, do you think do you see millennial in her?
I think we share a lot of the same.
Same parenting went on, didn't it?
Same parenting went on. I think we share a lot of the same. There was similar. You know, the generation gap isn't that big.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, we had similar.
Yeah.
Upbringings. Of course, she'll be like, "Oh, when I was your age, I was outside running around. I didn't have my face."
Yeah, that's a little. That's perturbed. I mean, I'd be perturbed at that. And he's like, oh, it's older you.
Just like, it was
if I said
different.
Something, that's a whole big difference.
It's like, when I was a kid in the 90s, we used to run around outside and play. And it's like, okay.
Well. And that's right. My children have I think 6 or 7 years between them. So that's the same thing. And that could be a big, these days, in this era, that is a bigger 6, 7 years, perhaps, than it was in my era.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to get into the parenting thing and that whole stuff. Next time we do this.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Absolutely.
I feel like
I have a lot to say about it.
I told you. It's you know, people would say to me, oh, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours? It's gone.
Yeah.
It goes 2 hours. It's very quick. And we will have you on again. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of mail about this.
I'd love to hear it.
I'm going to let you know. And we won't, we'll just tell you why at YouKnowWhere.com. If you want to write to Y, you can't write to Y. You have to write to me, and you know where I am at any time. Because I can get, I've never hidden. It was only a few times I hid. We'll talk about that another, privately or whatever. It doesn't matter. Because I've been running this internet for a long time. You know? And I know a lot of ins and outs. A lot of things.
Godfather of the internet.
No.
That's what you said earlier.
Somebody, I know, it was wrong. Someone called me the godfather of internet radio. So that stuck.
That's a nice ring to it.
I call myself the bard of broadcasting. Because I always want to be all of it. Okay? It's just the way that goes. Why is here looking at that's amazing. The watch there. And I'm going to bring up the theme, and then what's going to happen? Then we'll see. And we'll talk over that while we get out of here. But I thank you. They thank you, and there'll be now. This will be on all next week, but I'll tell you all about all that stuff, and you people know it'll eventually get up on Juiced Talk, JuicedTalk.com. Mm-hmm. I guess you don't care that it's cold out there because you wore slippers here. So
slippers. By
Adidas. I wish Adidas would chunk up some dough, but you know, they're not going to do that. This is a labor of love. And it's not labor at all because it's no work. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, you've been listening to Cotolo Chronicles and you know where to get us and where to find us everywhere else. And we hope to be back next week. Go to the blog to find out what the heck is going to be on. We don't know. We don't do it. We hope to be here. And maybe a guest, maybe not a guest. And why will we be back? You're going to be back, right? You're
I'll be back.
Why will we be back? And you'll never, ever know. I swear to you, you could put me underneath a dripping faucet that hits me in the temple, and I will not be tortured and tell my source ever. So there. Now, I'll say this. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. This is where we end it. And there's only, that's that. You know where else to go. We'll see you next time. We're gonna leave now because I have nothing more to say.